Well, g'day there. We're up to the fourth area of the Power Hour, the most exciting and probably the most important when it comes down to daily life. And that's called prioritization or values-based living. This area is all about what you do in the day and how you prioritize what you do in the day, which therefore helps you organize your day. I think this is one of the most important things because people who work hard on low priorities sabotage their self-worth. And I think you know, as well as I do, that self-worth is pretty important to you. It's important to your relationship, it's important to your work, it's important to your health, it's important to your finances, it's important to your career and where you're going in your career, and ultimately you can define it as your religion or your spirituality. Where does your self-worth come from? And so what I think we need to do it right up front here is to talk about self-worth. So we have self-esteem, which is when I punch myself and push myself up into the sky or pump myself up or give myself accolade, a pat on the head, a pat on the back. That's my self-esteem. I'm esteemed. I feel really positive and good about myself. What most people in the world don't know about, and what is absolutely astonishing to find out, is for everything that you pump yourself up about, you pump yourself down about. So high self-esteem and low self-esteem are two parts of one thing. Put them together, high self-esteem, low self-esteem, and you have self-worth. Now, self-worth, therefore, is the median, the middle, between how high you think you're pumped and how low you think you go. And so it's really important, therefore, not to inflate the experience of self-worth. What it is strength. What it is resilience. What it is authenticity. Now, these words need to start to become important to you, as they are to me, because I think they're the things that keep you on track, keep you in a trajectory. Now, it doesn't mean the lack of excitement. We're going to go up and down. There is, as we've explained before, emotions are there. We're going to listen to stories or listen to singers and go, wow, my self-esteem feels really high. I'm laughing my head off. I'm having a good time. And then tomorrow I'm going to have a headache if I've gone high with alcohol. I'm going to have a hangover. If I've gone high with laughter, I'm going to have a moment of sadness. If I've pumped myself up and told myself how awesomely brilliant and better than everybody else I am, I'm going to have a moment feeling like I'm the worst person on the planet. The most important thing about self-worth, it's no better or worse than anybody else on earth. And to talk about self-worth, what we say is nothing's ever missing, it just changes form. In other words, everything that I want is already with me. It's just in a form that I don't necessarily recognize or want it in. I'm a billionaire. I'm a multi-billionaire. Where? Well, it's in my health. It's in my knowledge. It's in my love, my relationship. It's in my sport. It's in my lifestyle. And all these things can come together and be your self-worth. It means nothing's ever missing. In the Buddhist language, they say, I need nothing, I want nothing, and therefore I have everything. And if you understand that, it means I need nothing, want nothing, and therefore I have everything. It also means you have every quality. Every human quality on earth is within you. If you like that in you, you have the highest self-worth possible. So let's move forward now and talk about self-worth, talk about prioritization on the basis that we want to build our self-worth. We don't want to escalate ourselves so we have crashes, and we don't want to have crashes that we need to escalate ourselves to overcome. Let's go through it. Let's now talk about your priorities. What do you do in a day? What you do in a day depends on your priorities. It's very interesting to talk to somebody and say, what do you want in your life? And they say, oh, I want some wealth. I want a great relationship. I want super health. And then you say, I'm going to follow you around with a camera and see what you do. And what you do is really your priorities. And so it's too easy to say, I want a banana. I want an orange. I want to be successful at work. And then I follow you around with a camera and watch you eat chocolate, drink coffee, listen to movies, go on Netflix, argue with your spouse, and have gorgeous sex. And I go, Well, you obviously want to get fat, become single, indulge yourself in pleasure. The things you do are your priorities. Now, left to our own resources, if we don't have some dictation over this topic, we all end up in the same place, and that is our lowest possible place. In other words, if we don't assert ourselves and say, this is my behavior, and these are my priorities, and this is what I want, if we don't have some control over this topic, and we just leave things to say, how do I feel? Oh, I don't feel very good. Oh, well, I won't do my exercise there. How do I feel? Oh, I don't feel very enthusiastic. Then I won't be very enthusiastic. How do I feel? I feel a bit down the dumps. Therefore, I will be down the dumps and use some caffeine or drug or whatever it is to lift me out of it. Interestingly, when we go to a doctor or a psychologist or a therapist and we say, I'm down the dumps, they believe that that's a bad place. That's a bad place to them. And they will say there must be some psychological or physiological or biological reason for you being down the dumps. But when you say that you want something and your behavior doesn't marry with that, you go down in the dumps. So when we're not authentic in saying what we want and where we're going, our feelings suffer. And if we think our feelings are the things we need to affect in order to affect our happiness, then we're missing the point completely. Behavior marries with wants. When they get together and what you behave links to what you want. In other words, if you want a clean house and you get up and you clean the table, clean the dishes, if you want a clean mind and you go to the kitchen sink and there's the dishes that have been there all day because you can't be bothered emptying the dishwasher, if your bed is got sheets on it that are 2 weeks old, you know what I'm saying here. If your behavior doesn't marry with what you want, then you get down in the dumps. You get down on yourself, you get disappointed, you get heartbroken, and your heart shuts. So your actions are really important. Your actions reveal you. Your actions are a temperature thermometer. As we stick a thermometer in our mouth, or as it is with my watch, if we stick a thermometer there, we know, even with my ringers measuring my temperature, we know where we're at in life, because it's measuring the biological temperature of our body. Goes too high, we're sick. Goes too low, we die. So as we have this temperature thermometer measuring of our biological well-being, so we have a temperature thermometer of our psychological and our spirit and our life well-being. And that barometer, that thermometer, is our actions. As I said, if you take everything you do in a day and you put it on a video and you watch it back and you ask someone to watch this video and say, what does this person want? It's a really simple process. I'll video all day. Now, let's take the video, watch it on Netflix, put it on TV and say, the audience has to guess what the person who's behaving wants. See if they can work out the outcome that this person is chasing. And I would pretty much hazard a guess that about 1 or 2% of the world would reveal what they want by their behavior. The rest would be complicated to work it out. The next step in this is when the actions are linked to what we want, when the behavior is linked to what we want, the next thing that has to be linked to what we want is our decisions. Now, decision making, as you probably are aware, 200,000 to 300,000 decisions a day is the average human being. Most of them are memes, which means they're pre-programmed. The brain doesn't want to go, oh, what do I do? What do I do? What will I do with this? What are my options? What will I do? I don't want to ask 16 people whether I should blow my nose or not. What I do is I create itchy nose, sneeze, tissue, or itchy nose, tissue, sneeze. I create an automated process. So a lot of the decision-making in our life becomes a automated thing. It becomes meme, it becomes a pattern, it becomes habitual. Now, not necessarily healthy. The habits are not necessarily healthy. We can have a shortcut between what's about to happen and what we think and what we act that's not healthy. So the third thing in understanding your self-worth is to understand whether the decisions you're making are short-term and long-term. You see, short-term decisions are really easy. I can say, I feel like this, I feel like this, I feel like this, I feel like this. These decisions are really easy. But when I say, but that decision affects me long-term as well. As an example, I have a fused spine. I've had three really big surgeries on my spine, mainly from carrying very heavy backpacks, 57 times up to the Himalayas. It's not once or twice, 57 times. And probably for the majority of those times, not in a healthy way, probably hunched over or tired or with the wrong, whatever, loading. And as a result, I had a really severe cysts in my spine and abscesses formed, and they had to go in my spinal column three times and sort me out. So I've got a fused lower spine. The decisions I make on a daily basis affect my spine. Short term, I can go out with the kids and give them a piggyback. I can go down to the beach and surf through very big surf. On an instantaneous moment to moment, I can act in ways that don't have any impact on my spine until tomorrow. And when I wake up tomorrow morning, I go, oh my goodness me, what's gone wrong? I feel like I'm 100 years old. And so I've come to defer how I feel to what's best for me. Now this shift is, it sounds really logical. You're listening to this and you're going, yeah, I know all that, Chris. But this shift from the short-term gratification to long-term comes at a cost, because you can start not enjoying the moment. You can say, I'm going to make every decision I make on a disciplined basis and actually decide everything for the future. But you don't get happy, completely happy, denying yourself instantaneous gratification. So getting this balance of decision-making right is really important. What I say in my decision-making process is, what do I want? Does this decision affect that? If the answer is yes, then I make a decision based on getting what I want, going to the future. If it doesn't affect it, I just make it for pleasure. If I win $100 in a casino or a lottery or whatever, I spend $50 for the future of it, $50 for the future, and $50 goes on the present. So I'm very aware it's necessary to enjoy the moment you're in and celebrate that and have fun and do all the things that give you pleasure. But I'm also conscious that if you do that 100%, you're going to end up not where you want to be at the end. I'm also aware if you spend all the money and all your effort on the future, you're going to be as dry as a dead dingo. And that's not going to be a good way to live your life. So keeping moist, keeping enjoying, and also keeping on track, these two things need to be balanced and thought through very carefully. Decision making, therefore, is a very important part of prioritization. Last but not least, in these aggravations towards your self-worth, is what you think about. Now, we're all capable of speaking. I'm capable of talking to the camera now, you're capable of talking to me. But the thing that we often forget, and the thing that we work on nearly the whole time with a high-performing individual and a high-performing athlete and someone who's taking a lot of responsibility and doing a lot of leadership, the thing we work on 99% of the time is not what they say to the world. It's not. You might think that that's what we work on, their communication, their skills, their ability to engage an audience. No, we work on what they say to themselves. Because nobody beats you up, nobody supports you, nobody loves you more than you do yourself. And those habits of talking to yourself like, oh God, here I am again, or wow, I didn't really improve, or I've done all this work on myself and I haven't got anywhere. Now, to talk to yourself properly, you need to understand the rules of the game. Because if you're playing a game of soccer or football, or you're playing a game of badminton or volleyball, and you don't know, or chess, and you don't know the rules of the game, you're going to be beating yourself up for missing things, for losing, or for not getting it right, but having a false expectation. What we're doing is understanding the rules of the game so we can talk to ourselves in a realistic and beautiful and loving way. In other words, we do to ourselves what we want other people to do to us, not the other way around. Nobody treats you better or worse than you treat yourself. And so self-talk comes from studying the universal laws of nature. And so I think this is where when you get really high in life and people are depending on you and you have to deal with the things that just come your way on a daily basis that are complicated, sometimes the whole topic is about expectations, realism, and dealing with yourself and the way you talk and think to yourself. Remember, there's two minds up here, the subconscious and the conscious. And the subconscious gets a script that tells the conscious mind what to think. And so sometimes we need to actually do a little bit of deep work. It was the original intent in meditation, but that's been lost. So now we have other techniques, and you can ask me about that in the program. Finally, I want to talk in this topic about self-worth and prioritization, about the debate we have between what other people want us to do and what we want to do. So with the newest world we're in, with the latest in 2024-25, kindness, generosity are important words for the purpose of engaging others. And that's a very important thing to engage other people in what we're doing. However, if you start measuring yourself on the amount of kindness you give, you're making a big mistake. Firstly, if you're kind to others and not kind to yourself, that's not going to work for anybody. That's self-sabotage. Secondly, if you act in kindness and generosity in order to make other people happy, you're acting on a myth, because there is no such outcome of pleasing others to please yourself. There's no way. You please others and you piss yourself off, or you please yourself and piss others off, but you can't do both. It's Walker's Law. Now, if you think about this deeply, it's a really complicated negotiation that we have to have with ourselves and other people. Sometimes we have to know ourselves well enough so that we are not living to please others, but we are living to please ourselves and then describing what we're doing in a language that others can understand. And that is where the next topic of this video is going to come into place: understanding the importance of human values.